That's the goal. And you know, one thing that God has been kind of dealing with me in my own personal life is this relationship that we have with Jesus, it needs to become just a part of who we are. You know, I was talking to my wife the other morning, we was talking, and I said, you know, to me, my relationship with Jesus, I want it to be a part of me just like my arm. Okay, just like my arm. My arm's pretty important. Is your arm pretty important to you? It's real important to you. I take care of that arm. I don't take that arm for granted. And if you've ever met anybody who's had an arm taken away from them, Brother Bob Cox, is Brother Bob here tonight? Brother Bob had an accident in the oil rigs. Where? There he is. Wasn't it in the oil fields where you had your accident, Brother Bob? And they wanted to take your arm, didn't they? They wanted to take it off. You didn't want them to take it, did you? No, sir. No, sir. And Brother Bob has kept that arm, and it's kept him in a lot of pain. It's given him a lot of difficulties. But guess what? He still got his arm. Amen? He still got his arm. Our relationship with Christ is something that has to become a part of us, just like the air we breathe. It's got to be so natural to us. You say, well, Matt, it's hard. It's difficult. Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult. But guess what? It's possible with God, because all things are possible, right? To those that are called, amen? And we're all called. So tonight, as I go through this message, I want you to think about that in your own life. How personal do I want, how individualized do I want to make my relationship? Do I want to make it a part of me, of who I am, just like my arm, my leg, my chest, my heart, everything? That's what your relationship with Jesus in today's world has to become. It has to become. That's not an option. It's not negotiable. Amen? It has to become a part of us. And we have to seek after that. We have to go after it with everything that we have. Amen? Amen. The question I've got that for this message tonight, that God's dealt with me for a long time, and is the body of believers, now not just this church, but all churches, all Christians today, are we trying to look more like the world or more like Jesus? And what I mean by that is the church working harder at methods and relevance and how we're leading people to Christ and showing people the love of Christ in our own lives and how we think it should be, or are we using just the message of Jesus Christ? Just the simple message that Jesus saves. You know, there's a lot of things that we can do, and there's a lot of, we've seen it. We've seen them grow churches to thousands, tens of thousands. But I've heard a lot of statistics of a lot of people that fall away as well because of that. Because we want to be more relevant to today's world. We think we need to be the defenders of the gospel, so to speak. God almost got it, but we're going to help him get it over the line. And all we need to do is present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Do I got anybody that can identify with that tonight? Anybody in the house? Amen. My heart has become burdened for myself and for other believers because of this. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9, it says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. You believe we're in the last days? You hear people talk about it all the time. Some of you may have, that's been a believer for a long time, said, well, we were talking about that back in the 50s. Well, guess what? You were in the last days back in the 50s. Well, what do you mean? We went another 50, 60 years. What is time to God? What is time to God? We're in the last days. And there's markers in Scripture that gives us indications, right, that the last days are here. There's things happening. Technology has sped that up faster than any time that I can imagine, since I've been alive, and I'm sure many of you The internet, all of those technology-driven things has sped up, I believe, the coming of Jesus Christ. You know, it was gonna, God wanted to take the gospel to every ear, I can't even quote it now, but to everyone to be able to hear the gospel. Well, I believe that that's happening right now today. There's not very many, if any, people in the world today that hasn't heard the message of Jesus Christ. I believe that's happened and happening right now. But in 2 Timothy verse 3, 1 through 9, it says this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. They'll be boastful, they'll be proud. They'll be abusive. They'll be disobedient to their parents. They'll be ungrateful. They'll be unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing, now listen to this, have nothing to do with them. Huh. Now, doesn't that sound strange for the message that's going out in the Christian world today? But the Word says people who are in these areas of life that live in this, not people that are trying to get out, not people that are trying to restore themselves, but people that are living in this, whether they're in the church or in the world, we're to have nothing to do with them. Now, that seems very strange. You know, there's things about the Word of God that we want to try to make it more palatable for folks because it's just a little too strong. God, you're just a little too strong with that. They're not going to receive that. You know, one of the things that God put in my heart is that the gospel of Jesus Christ is simple. It's simplicity, right? The simplicity of the Word. Anybody, childlike faith, anybody can understand the Word of God. Anybody can understand right from wrong. It's us that make it complicated. It's what the world's become that's made it complicated. It's we've tried to over-intellectualize it because we think, well, God, we've been to seminary school, and you know what? I got a new idea. I've got a new thought for your Word. I've got a new. And that's not the case. His Word hasn't changed in what? Over 2,000 years. Could he have changed it? Absolutely. Anytime he wanted to. He could have had it, taken away. He could have done. He hasn't changed his Word from Genesis to Revelation in over 2,000 years because it's the complete Word of God. It's completion. It's perfection. Amen? I've seen in this, in our community and in our state and in our country, these things, but what is worse to me, I see it in the action and lives of people who confess Jesus Christ as their Savior. It goes on to say in verse 6, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins, are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? Jesus. They're always learning, so they're always gaining knowledge of the Word, but they never come into relationship with the truth. They never understand what a relationship with Jesus is. They never understand the true freedom that God can give you through the truth of His Word and only His Word. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. They were like magicians or something and they opposed Moses. So also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as their faith is, they are men of depraved mind who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Amen. As believers, we talk about and we read that there are many signs already going on that we are living in the last days before Jesus' return. But do we truly believe that? Do we truly believe that? Or is it something that's just been said for a long, long time? Jesus is coming soon. If you truly believe that, if we truly believe tonight in this house that Jesus was going to come, that all of a sudden you're going to hear the trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ is going to rise, and we knew that, and we truly believe that, y'all would have a lot different posture sitting in those chairs right now. I guarantee it. What would there be? There'd be a little bit of anxiousness. I'd be anxious. All right? Might be a little nervous. Might be a little excited. Amen? I might be thinking, I got loved ones I got to tell about Jesus now. I got loved ones that I need to for them to accept Jesus now. If you knew when the day was, if you knew that, the urgency in your life would quadruple. Would it not? Am I just a thought I had? It would. That's how we're to live our lives as believers. And until that becomes a part of us, until that gets inside of us, until it becomes our right arm, our left arm, our leg, whatever it is, then our effectiveness for Christ is going to be minimal. I'm not saying it won't be something, but it's going to be minimal. But I don't want to live a minimal life, do you? For Christ, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to spend the next 25 years slipping in, sliding down, sleeping through, and sliding out. Do you? I want to do what God's purposed and given the potential in my life to do. That's what I want to do, don't you? Amen. Amen. As believers, do our actions show that if we took our last breath today, we would be sure, assured an eternity in heaven? You know, I know my brother Wren was laying there in that hospital bed with a heart. Man, when that stuff hits you, you know, Brother Greg right now, he's working on getting cleansed out. So I know he's watching me. He's just sitting down. I love you, brother. We're praying for you. But anytime you're going through those things, you guys just got it, didn't you? Okay. Anytime you're going through these things, your own mortality, you're faced with your own mortality. So your relationship with Christ becomes what? A whole lot more important. A whole lot more urgency. You know, I told Brother Greg the other day, he's had a lot of folks praying for him. Man, don't you wish we prayed for each other the same way we do when we got a problem than when we don't have a problem? Don't you believe that? That's how we're to live our lives. That's how it's supposed to be a part of us. That's what comes in us. It's just supposed to be how we, that every, well, Matt, you can't walk around like an idiot. Just praying for everybody, why can't you? Why can't you? You don't have to just shove it down people's throat, but the Holy Spirit that lives in, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He ain't a psycho. He ain't crazy. He'll lead you and guide you. Amen? He'll lead you and he'll guide you and he'll give you discernment and he'll give you the I call it my knower. I've been places, you've been places when you know that you're to speak to someone, that you're to speak into someone's life. And it's your decision whether you do that or not. And until we live our lives as close to Christ as we can get it and have the confidence of the Holy Spirit in us and the boldness to do that, we won't do it. I don't do it. I've walked by countless amounts of people in my life over the last, let's just take 10 years, that I knew I was supposed to say something to, that I knew I was supposed to pray with. And I went, whoo, God, maybe somebody else can get that one. I don't want to do that right here in the middle of wherever. Because some, you know, we get fear. Fear comes on us, fear of exclusion, right? Fear of loss, fear of being made fun of, you know? The fear comes over us that makes us, stops us from doing that. But I'm here tonight to hopefully encourage us that by living a life so close to Christ and so close to His Word that it will build the confidence and boldness in us to share the gospel, to share the love of the Lord. And it won't be something we got to muster up. It doesn't have to be something that okay, man, I'm going to do it. I got this going and I got that going. It's just who you are, man. It's just who you are. You know, I am who I am. Is it Popeye that says that? Who says that? I am who I am. But I am who I am. I is who I is. You are who you are. God made us individually to be who we are. Don't try to be any different version of yourself. You be you. What the kids say, you do you. Is that right? You do you. You do you. And that's true. But we do we. I do me with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus in me. So then it's a whole different me. It's still got the characteristics of Matt that God gave me, that God put in me, but it's the Holy Spirit living in me that's coming out of me. Amen? And your lane that God put you in, your potential and your purpose that God give you in your life, you can get right in that lane. And that groove, as they say. God's got a groove for each one of us. God's got a lane for each one of us. You just got to find that. And as we grow in Christ, He grows that in you. Amen? All right. Sorry. Action. God is putting a burden and an urgency in my heart for believers that in these last days, the current times that we are living in, that we have to take more responsibility and accountability for how we live our lives daily for Jesus. The consequences. God put this so strongly in my spirit for Matt. I'm not putting it on you guys. This is for Matt. The consequences of not doing this, of not living my accountable life to Christ, okay? A responsible life in Jesus. The consequences of not doing this will follow me to the judgment seat. That will follow me to the... Folks, there's a day that we're going to stand. There's a day that God's been dealing with me that. It's not something to put fear in me and doubt and dread. It's to motivate me. If you're a believer in Jesus tonight, say amen. Everything in this word is to motivate us. Everything in this word is to inspire us, to direct us, to guide us, to give us a hope and a future. Amen. Every single thing to help you through any kind of problems, any kind of issues that you're in. The love of God is the Word of God. Amen? And that's what it's there for. Do you believe that tonight? So the consequences will follow us to the judgment seat. In Matthew 7, 15 and 16, it says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them." Now, I'll be honest with you. And just Matt, and just old Matt, I can be fooled. I can be duped. I can be, because I truly do want to see the good in everybody. And that's the way I want to live my life. Now, the world and life has jaded old Matt a little bit. If you've lived long enough, if you've done enough stuff, you can get a little jaded. And your trust factor, your trust goes downhill. Mine did. Mine has. Amen? But it says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." These men that come, the false prophets, the sheep in wolf's clothing, the alternative motives, okay? The manipulations. By their fruit, God will reveal that to you. We will recognize them. Believers and prophets proclaiming the gospel by their fruits. In Galatians 5, 13 through 22, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Oh, man, is that not true? Is that not true? How many times have you seen it? In the world, in the organization of the church, backbiting. And it does. The collateral damage is what puts the fear in me so much. I say it all the time. People that are around me probably get tired of me saying it. But we've got a responsibility of this walk with Jesus. We've got a responsibility as a representative of Jesus Christ. It's not a burden. It's not a hassle. It's a privilege. But we do have a responsibility. And there will be a day when we'll stand in judgment for every opportunity. Those opportunities I missed. God, forgive me. Help me to do better. But I will stand for those. And to say and to tell someone anything less is collateral damage to their life. Because today, because I recognize that in my own life, guess what I can do? I can repent. Repent means I'm going to turn away from that disobedience in my life. And I'm going to do better. I'm going to learn God's word, and with the Holy Spirit in me, through prayer, through obedience, I'm going to do better. And I'm going to change. But if we tell people that that's not important, that that's not a possibility, that if you live in a disobedient life, where will they end up? Because it's not that that's going to send them to hell, but it puts them on the pathway. It gives the enemy the foothold in your life. You have to know the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? Amen. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Who's the Spirit? Jesus. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Word. The relationship with God. The flesh is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit is what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Man, we are a society of I just want to do whatever I want to do. However I want to do it, whenever I want to do it. And if I can't get my way, I'm going to make a way to get my way. We're a society of that. And that's not the believer. That's not how you stay close to God. And that's not how God can use you. If you continue in that disobedient lifestyle, God can't use you. God won't use us. Amen? But if you are led by the Spirit, but God. I love the buts in the Bible. But God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Just put them on when they fit you. I got a bunch of them on. So I'm not just putting them on you. I got them on. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What do you think that means? Do you think that means that I'm just going to make it in? I'm just going to slide in. Woo! Because I believe in God, but I still live like this. I still live like hell. You can't live like hell and make heaven. It just don't work that way. It just don't work that way. How many wants to make heaven? Amen. The acts of the flesh. Amen. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Amen. The acts of the flesh are obvious: immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envious, drunken, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But God. But the fruit of the Spirit is. You know, God's telling us there. He's telling us. You know, this thing's a roadmap, guys. You don't need anything else. You really don't. I mean, I know there's a lot of good stuff out there. There really is. There's a lot of good books. There's a lot of good stuff. But you really don't need it. Because all of those things that we just talked about there that I read twice, and I did that on purpose, not because that I'm, you know, getting old. Because we need to think about those things. Because we think, you know, as Christians, as believers, as Sunday night saints, we're sitting there going, well, that don't apply to me, none of that. Well, I can sit here and you ever get mad? I still get mad. Fits of rage? Come on now. Selfish ambition? You ever get a little ambition in you? Well, of course you do. Yeah. You ever get so mad you just say, I hate them. I just hate that person. And then you go, oh, Lord, forgive me. You still got it in you? Jealous? Anybody ever get jealous? Come on. Amen. You're still living, breathing, taking in air. That's the flesh. It's what we talked about earlier. The flesh. You're always fighting against the flesh. But God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. How do you do that? You belong to who? Jesus, not you. Amen? It isn't you that does it. It isn't Pastor Sam or Pastor Matt or anybody else. It's Christ Jesus that does that in you. And when you look somewhere else and try to just add a little Jesus, it isn't going to work. When you do something else and try to just add a little Jesus, it isn't going to be sustainable. You see it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in people's lives. Christ Jesus. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to keep in step with the Spirit. How do you keep in step with the Spirit? You learn His Word. You pray. You choose Jesus every day, every time. You know, I always say you got 7 seconds to sin. You really do. And I just picked that up. It was just random because 7's God's perfect number. But I applied this to my own life. I got 7. It's not thoughts don't come my way. Man, thoughts of everything comes my way. I'm still human. I'm breathing. I'm taking in air. But I got 7 seconds to make the decision to act on that thought or not. I got 7 seconds to allow the Holy Spirit who's in me and who I got close relationship with and the Word that's in me to well up, to choose Jesus over sin. Amen? Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. God gave us a measuring stick here for our lives to recognize and know what our lives should be in Him. It is not judging someone who professes Jesus to hold them accountable to these standards that God has given us in His Word. Get off that, man. It's not judging someone. It's loving someone. It's loving someone. Sometimes you can say it real sweet. Hey, man, where you at? What's going on? You're messing up. Or sometimes you got to tell them, hey, get your head out. Sometimes people need to hear that. Sometimes they need a hug. Sometimes they need a boot. Right? I do. I've had people love me, just love on me and tell me, and I've had people put a boot square in my hind end. Amen? And they both work. They're both effective. Very. I'm burdened that in the times we're living in and the trends of society, that we don't have to be accountable, we don't have to be responsible for the way we serve Jesus. We just don't have to. That God just loves us no matter what. He does. God does love us no matter what. But He gave us a whole book of matter what's. This is what you need to do. These are the things you need to do. This is how you need to live. And guess what? If you'll do these things, your life will be easier. Your life will be easier. Well, man, I've been serving God for 20 years, and it's just been brutal. I'd like playing a country song backwards. I lost my dog. I lost my house. I lost my truck. I lost everything when I started serving Jesus. But yet, look what you gained. You gained eternity. You gained an eternal life. You gained an advocate for you. You gained someone that'll stick closer than a brother, that when you're going through something, he'll take you through it. Amen? Has anybody ever been through anything? Has Jesus ever got you to the other side? Amen? Amen. I'm burdened that the times we're living in, with the no accountability and no responsibility of the world, and as the believer, that we will not choose to let God's word and his presence discipline us and disciple us to learn how he wants us to be accountable and responsible to him. I'm going to read that one more time. We will not choose to let God's word and his presence, God's word and his presence in our life is what makes us. God's word, God's presence. You know that you can keep God with you all day long. It's not someone, somehow you got to come here to get it. I always tell my girls, God's only a whisper away. God's just a whisper away. But his presence and his word will discipline us. We don't like that word, discipline. We really don't like that. But God's word does discipline. It corrects us. It corrects our wrong thinking. It corrects our wrong behavior. It corrects our wrong attitudes. It corrects our wrong living. It is correction. It has not got anything to do with belittling. It's got nothing to do with making you feel less. It's got nothing to do with who you think you are. And that's the way people take it. People get offended by the correction of God's word, usually because they're just in such a rebellious, sinful state that it just grates against everything that's in them, because they don't want to change. They say they believe in God. They say they serve God. But in this area, I really don't want to change that, even though the word of God says, you better change it. Well, this isn't going to send me to hell. No, that particular thing might not send you to hell. You know, it's kind of like the age-old deal of drinking. One beer isn't going to send me to hell. No. But one beer might lead to two beers, might lead to three beers, might lead to a whole case of beer. Then you're drunk. The Bible talks about drunkenness in his word, period. Period. What else does it do? It ruins your testimony. It destroys your testimony. You know, the Bible tells us clearly not to be a stumbling block in many areas of our lives. Not to be a stumbling block. Amen? Amen. Discipline. We don't like it. Discipling us, allowing God to disciple us to learn how he wants us to be accountable and responsible to him. We learn that by the Holy Spirit living in us, by spending time in his word, by coming to church, by having a friendship with someone. You know, one of the things that brought me to Jesus was a guy that just, he was unconditional friendship for Christ. That was the kind of the motto of that time. He just came alongside me. He didn't say, hey, I've went to seminary, or I'm this, or I'm that. He just said, hey, man, I'm just your friend. And I just, let me tell you about Jesus. And I don't know everything about him, but here's his word. And he read his word with me. He just sat down. And he became my friend. And he told me about a man that would become my friend, like he'd become his friend. And it was one-to-one. It wasn't a whole bunch of us. He wasn't out to save everybody in Branson. He came to me. God sent him to me. Find your one. That's my encouragement for you tonight. Go find your one this year. Just one. Don't worry about everyone. Go find one. And when you find that one, Build into them. Spend time with them. Invest in them. The one. Don't try to get the two until you got the one. Amen? Allow the Holy Spirit, allow God's Word to not only grow them, but to grow you. To grow you. And you'll become friends. You'll build a relationship. You'll build a relationship in Jesus. And guess what that'll do? That will spread. God will use that. God will use that. God will get the next one for you and the next one for them. God will use that. You know, we've made the spreading the gospel such a competitive, numbers-driven, I don't know what else to call it, to where we build these great, big, huge buildings and we want to fill them to the rooftops in 3 months. And we've got these huge amounts of debts on us where a pastor cannot get up in front of his congregation because of the debt load that's crushing him. And he can't preach the truth because he's going to offend somebody. He's going to offend somebody. He'll offend that old boy who's got the big wallet that's been given the big money. So he changes what God started him out to do. He changes the message that God put on his heart when he got called into the ministry. I'm telling you, this is a word tonight for somebody. It's just apply it to your life. If God has ever changed your mission because of your fear of loss, your fear of exclusion, your fear of something in your life, because that's what happens to us. But as believers in Jesus, we got to get over that. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to get through it. That's why the relationship has to be so close and so intimate to the individual that the boldness and the confidence that you have in you is unshakable. Nothing can shake it. Nothing can change it. Nothing can change your mind. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God has given us in His Word His presence, His discipline, His discipleship to live in relationship with Him. At this point, you're probably sitting there saying, Matt, I'm doing all I can do. It's just too hard. The world is too difficult. My circumstances are out of control. Well, let me let you off the hook. The answer is simple. You can't. You can't do it. So if you're trying to do it, I'm going to ask you tonight to stop. Stop doing it tonight at 7:29. If you're trying to live a life in Christ on your own efforts, on your own willpower, on your own accord, stop at 7:29 and 45 seconds. Stop tonight. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God or hatred against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." That's pretty straight. If you're choosing the world over your relationship with God in any way, well, Matt, what does that mean? Well, you're out here living on your own accord. You're not trusting God. You're not depending on God. You're not relying on God. You're not serving God. Somewhere in your life, you've said, God, I've got this part. Well, what you're telling God is, I choose to be a friend of the world. Because I'm going to go out here and try it on the world's way. It goes on in verse 5, it says, "Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Man, guys, I don't know about you, but I know I can't do anything without God because I've proven it to myself over and over and over and over again. I can't do anything without Him. It doesn't, you know, it might work for a little while. It might, but without God's direction, without God's leading, without my commitment and trust and obedience to God, it just doesn't work. It's temporal. When we trust God, when we rely on God, when we do what God has told us to do, it's still hard. It's still not easy. But it's possible. Because with God, all things are possible. If you truly, truly believe that. If you truly believe that in everything. And it doesn't matter what the results are. The results may not look like you want them to look. The results may not be what you think they should be. The results, the desires of your heart might be off in alignment with God. They might be off. But God will show you. God will lead you. He will direct you. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. When we submit ourselves then to God, we resist that devil. See, here's our part. We resist the devil and he will flee from us. Come near to God. When we move near to God, when we move towards God, he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Tonight, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want us to do. This was what God put on my heart. He told me these four words. Choose to live holy. Choose to live holy. I'm not talking about the kind of holiness that has been misrepresented in many churches in the world. They have made holiness more about appearance. Although I do think we have a responsibility in our appearance and our dress. To dress humbly. To dress right. To not cause our brothers and sisters to stumble because of sexual thoughts. I mean, the world, it's all over the place today. One thing we shouldn't do as brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be conscientious about that because we are still flesh and blood. Amen? To me, holiness is less about what we look like and more of what our actions are and who we are inside. Holiness, in its most basic true definition, means to be set apart or dedicated to and for God, away from sin and evil. In 1 Peter 13, it starts and says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness is not popular today. Holiness is not relevant today in the church world. It is not. It has seemed as restrictive. It has seemed as religious. People that when you call out to live a holy and righteous life, it's seen as religion. It's seen as a restrictive way of life. Guess what, guys? This word is restrictive. The reason that the word talks about the narrow and the wide gate is because the narrow gate is a restrictive way to get to heaven. It's an individual way to get to heaven. It's not a Dixie stampede into heaven. It's an individual way and a relationship with Jesus to go through. It says the wide gate, and the wide path, there's many that'll go through that. The word talks about there'll be religious folks that take that path. Amen? And so it is restrictive. Living holy is a choice. Living holy is a choice because of your relationship with God. To live holy and righteous is not a bunch of rules and restrictions and do's and don'ts. It's a love for the Father. It's a love for the Word of God. It's a love for the direction that God gives our lives. Amen? As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy. You lived in ignorance. We lived in ignorance. We didn't know. Man, we didn't know. We were just living out here in sin. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It is important to us to know that apart from God, no one can be holy. To truly live set apart from the world and sin and evil, we must have God's Holy Spirit in us. Then we must take responsibility and accountability to be obedient to his Holy Spirit every day. So the first step to living an obedient life is to allow the Holy Spirit full control of our mind, our will, and our emotions. Once we've done that, once we've done this, this is what it looks like to live holy. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 12. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that is in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins. As we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. When we reject the instructions of God, when we reject this book in any way, in any fashion in our lives, we're rejecting God. We're treading on the blood of Jesus. And it's not that we don't stumble and fall and we don't have problems and issues. It's what you do with them. It's how you get up. It's how you move forward. Amen? It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Amen? For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects these instructions does not reject a human being but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business, work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and that you will not be dependent on anyone. Man, that's some crazy instructions right there. I'm telling you, think about this. To make your ambition to lead a quiet life. Man, the world's telling you to live loud and proud, to go and get, to do, achieve. Come on, get with it. What are you doing? What have you done with your life? The Word of God's sitting here and telling us to live a quiet life, to make your ambition to live a quiet life. Does that mean not to do anything? No. That doesn't mean not to go out and do anything. What that means is to lead a quiet life. As far as it's up to you, you're going to live a peaceful, loving life of Jesus Christ in you to the people around you, the people that are with you. You're going to do everything in God's power inside you to live holy, to live righteous, to live peaceful. Amen? So that your daily life will win the respect of outsiders. You know, when you see someone that's living for Jesus, and you can just tell when they walk into a room, they don't have to say anything. They don't have to beat their chest. They don't have to start quoting scriptures. The Holy Spirit lives in them. When they walk into a room, they change the atmosphere of the room. I want to be an atmosphere changer, don't you? I read this little saying. The difference in a thermometer and a thermostat is that a thermometer reflects the temperature of the environment, and a thermostat sets the temperature of the environment. Every day we're faced with a decision. Are you going to be a thermostat or are you going to be a thermometer? I just love that. I want to be an atmosphere changer. Don't you? We live this holy life by choosing to be obedient to God in all areas of our lives. Knowing God's word and obeying is the key. Jesus says in John 17, verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Jesus was praying here for the believers to be set apart and made righteous by the word of God. By knowing and keeping the word of God in our hearts keeps us able to live holy. When we choose to be accountable to the word of God, we are staying separated from evil. We're offering our lives as a living sacrifice. The purpose for us to choose to live holy life is to glorify God and display his nature to those around us. Glorify God, number one thing. And then display the nature of God. When we live, we're an atmosphere changer. When we walk into a room, we don't walk into a room with arrogance. We walk into a room humbly, with love. We're seeking out. We're using the Holy Spirit in us. And he's drawing men and women to us. Amen? The word says that he'll draw all men. I want to be in that avenue. I want to be in that lane. When God's drawing somebody, I want God to have so much confidence in me that he's going to draw someone through me. Amen? Is that you tonight? The purpose for us to choose to live a holy life is to glorify God and display his nature to those around us. In Matthew 5, it says, we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. In 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a nightstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, we're to let our light shine before others, that they may see our good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I want to be a light. I want to be salt. Amen, don't you? I'm not standing here tonight saying it's easy to choose this obedience, this accountability to reach holiness that God calls us to. Satan is always there. He's roaming to and fro to see who he can destroy. Amen? He comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But what I am saying is this. Galatians 5:16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. How many want to walk by the Spirit tonight? Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if we stay in relationship with Jesus, if we stay in this word, we stay in relationship with God, it becomes a part of us, not just something we do, something we're working at, something we're trying to achieve. It becomes a part of you, like your arm, like your leg, like your very breath. When it becomes, when that relationship becomes that much of you, amen? It says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Our mindset to live holy. Romans 6, verses 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Man, I'm dead. Those sins, they're gone, right? You know, we spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror. We spend too much time thinking about what we were instead of who we are and what we're going to be in Jesus. Amen? Spend more time thinking about who you are now, not who you was then, and who you're going to be. The past is what? The past. And the word says he cast it into the sea as far as the east is from the west, the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. So why do we remember it? That's one of the enemy's tricks. When that comes into your mind, grab it in 7 seconds and say, devil, you're a liar. You're a defeated foe. You're under my feet. Amen? Don't let it have any place in your head, in your thoughts, in your mind. Take every thought captive. Right? It's what the word tells us, to take every thought captive. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you may obey its evil desires. Kick it out. Get it out. Root it out. Pray it out. Get away from it. Flee. Hey, listen. It's okay to run. It's okay to run from sin. If you're going to fail, if you're going to blow it, get out. Run. Get away from it. Distance yourself from it. It's okay. It's okay. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. If I'm not going to let it reign, I got to get it out there some way so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Every part. Every thought, every action, every movement, everything about us should be that way. An instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. The law what? The law reveals sin. The law was brought to reveal sin. Grace was brought to bring us back in right relationship. Amen. With God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Anytime we face temptation, we should say, I am dead to that. That was a part of my old life, and I am now new in Christ Jesus. Anybody new in Christ Jesus here tonight? Anybody? I don't care if you've been serving God 50 years or you've been serving God 5 days. Don't ever forget when you became new in Christ Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Amen? Anytime we face temptation, we should say, I'm dead to that. That was a part of my old life. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm new. Why talk about it? God's forgot it, so why shouldn't you? To truly live holy and separate ourselves from sin, we must see ourselves as Jesus sees us. Born again, children of the Most High God, clothed in his righteousness. Do you really see yourself as that tonight? Do you see yourself as that? You know, that's one of the things. Well, I'm almost done. That's one of the things as we get here, as we get done tonight, that I'm going to ask you to do. This isn't a runaway message, I know. This isn't one of those type of messages. This is a message for you to do a checkup from the neck up, as I like to say. Where am I at in my relationship with Jesus? Whether it's been 50 years or 5 days, where am I at in that relationship? And where do I want to go? Where do you want to go? It's up to you of where you want to go. All that a pastor is here to do is to love you and to encourage you and to give you the word, to give you the word that God has put in his heart. It's up to you what you do with it. You can do nothing with it. You can just hit the door and go to Steak and Shake and get you a milkshake. Say, well, I got that done tonight. Got to go to work in the morning. Start thinking about something else. Or, you can say, God, I choose you. God, I heard your words tonight. God, I know my relationship with you has become whatever. Whatever it has become with you. But God, I want more. God, I want change in my life. God, and I've bought all the self-help books. I've been to all the seminars. God, I need you. God, I need your word to become more real to me today than it's ever been in my life. I need revelation knowledge of your word. I need your Holy Spirit to move in my life. God, when I go to bed tonight, when I lay my old tired head on the pillow, you're the last one I want to talk to. In the morning when I wake up, you're the first one I want to say good morning to. God, and I want you to guide and direct every step that I take throughout the day. God, I want to be in continual continual relationship with you all day, every day. To live holy, we should have the benefit of the body of Christ. Our fellowship and our relationship with other believers is a vital part. To truly live holy and separate ourselves from sin, we must see ourselves as Jesus sees us. Stop looking at yourself of who you was. Look at who you are. Remember, we are not trying to live holy to earn salvation. Salvation was a free gift. Salvation was paid for right there on the cross with that crown of thorns and that cross. It's a free gift. You're not living holy. You're not living good. You're not being a good little girl or a good little boy to get your salvation. Your salvation was given to you. When you said, when you reached out your arm and your hand, or when you hit your knees, however you did it, when you said, God, I'm a sinner, save me, you were saved. You became a child of the Most High God. Amen? You're clothed in His righteousness. Remember, we're not trying to live holy to earn salvation. Living holy is a natural progression of being saved by God's mercy and grace and filled with His Holy Spirit. It's a natural progression. As you grow in a relationship with Jesus, as you learn His Word, as you trust in Him, as you rely on Him, as you depend on Him, like you depend on your arm and your leg and your heart, when you depend on God like that, when you depend on God for your next breath, your next step, I can't even take it, God, without you. That's when that holy living and righteous living will become such a natural part of your world. When that word becomes so much a part of you. When you read this word and you see your answer. When you get that close to God. You know, you can read this word and find your answer. I used to, in the back of a lot of Bibles, I lived by it for many years. You know, I'd be going through something. I'd have done something stupid. Most of the time, as I'd done something stupid, and I was really guilty, and I felt bad, and I really needed, nobody else was going to give me any love, and I needed some love from Jesus. And I said, it's the promises. Have you ever looked in the back of the Bible? It's the promises from the Bible. It said, God promises when you feel guilty. And then they give you 4, 5, 6 scriptures. When you feel dejected, when you feel despair, when you're disappointed, when you're depressed, when you're persecuted, when you're anxious, when you're filled with longing, when you're sick, when you're impatient, when you're confused, you're tempted, you're weak, you're afraid, you're in need, you grieve, you suffer, you fail, you doubt. Doesn't that sound like what everything that everybody's dealing with on a daily basis? There is about 50 or 60 or 70 scriptures here that's given for each one of those. Run to the Word. Run to the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to correct you. Allow the Word of God to change you. Allow the Word of God to help you. Allow the Word of God to be your light in the dark places. Allow the Word of God to be your help when you feel helpless. Allow the Word of God to change you when you know you need to be changed. Amen? As we get this in our souls, as we get this in our spirits and down in us, that is when the holy living, that is when you want to live right. You do want to live holy because He is holy, because of what He's done in your life and doing in your life. We don't give up when we mess up and fail. We just get up. Did you hear me? We don't give up when we mess up and we fail. We just get up. Repent and keep moving forward to Jesus. Keep moving forward to that Word. I could sit here, man, it just started flooding back to me. Man, there was times that I would just blow it, and I knew I blew it, and I would feel guilty. I would feel all these things that I just read, and man, I would need the Word. I had a little Bible. I was in college, and I'm quitting, I promise. I had a little Bible. When I was in college, it was a New Testament Bible. The man who led me to Christ, that guy that I was telling you about, he gave it to me. And I took it everywhere with me. I didn't read it very much, but I just took it with me. And I had it in college. But when I would feel, that despair, when I'd feel that hurt, because I know, not because of I hurt someone else, because I had accepted Jesus Christ and what he had done in my life. And I knew that I had disappointed him. I don't know about you. You may not have had this kind of relationship with your father, but my dad could yell at me and whoop the tar out of me. And yeah, I didn't like it very much. But it hurt a whole lot worse when I looked in his eyes and I knew I disappointed him. And that's the relationship God wants you to have with him. Not that he's ever disappointed in you, but that you love him so much that you don't want to disappoint him, that you don't want to fail him. And when you do, you want to fix it. You want to fix it. Amen? You want to say, God, I feel guilty. I feel guilty for what I did. So God says, go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews 10. Put up there, Miss Lonnie, if you would, put up there Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. I don't know what it says, but it's one of the scriptures right here that says I'm feeling guilty. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unwavering to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What does that do to you when you're feeling guilty? That gives you hope in a future. That gives you the ability to get up off the ground, to get up off the floor, to get up. Amen? We don't give up when we mess up and fail. We just get up and repent and keep moving forward. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Don't live in condemnation. Conviction, relationship, you don't want to disappoint him. Conviction is, hey man, I've done wrong. I know I've done wrong. That's not condemnation. Conviction says, God, I don't want to do wrong. Conviction says, I want to repair that. Conviction says, I'm confident that I want, that I know right from wrong, that I want relationship with you. My encouragement for us tonight is to examine our lives in Christ and tell God, God, I choose you. Tell him I want to be holy because you are holy. I surrender my life to holiness like never before. I'm ready, Lord. Are you ready? Stand to your feet with me.